Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Buenas noches. That's
it's dinner time in the Santana household, so that's for damn sure.
Yeah, it is. good stuff cooking today. Good stuff.
Anyways, be nice that Canes could cook some good stuff up, but
well, that's I mean, you're asking for a little too much.
rough patch. So my titling of this episode, a little missing, 6-game ACC losing streak. They did manage to squeeze that FAU win in the middle, but lost 9-10. Actually, lost 8 games in a row in the ACC. Lost the last 2 against Clemson.
That's ugly, man.
So that since Scanlon's hit that walk off, they've gone 1-9
in the ACC play.
Total overall.
Overall.
They've lost one midweek game. They split the 2 midweek games, lost the last 2 games of Clemson, and got swept by both Duke and then Florida State. Now, those are all top 10 teams, by the way. So, and they're competitive in all those games, but yikes.
Yeah, it's tough. When you see, you know, we talked about it last week. We said, you know, this team looks like it's close, you know, like they're there. They look like they've got something, but they can't piece it all together. And it either falls apart at the back end or in the front end or somewhere it falls apart. There's a disconnect. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think you spoke about this. Sorry about that. You spoke about this also. And I mean, some of the coaching decisions, some of the things that JD has done with the pitching staff. And I'm going to put it on JD. Look, JD's a pitching coach, right? That's what he's done for 22 years. I know you bring in Laz, who's very good at what he does. He's actually a very good pitching coach in his own right. But those decisions at the end that he's making to pull some guys after they go – after they have a shutdown inning, haven't been the best decisions. And he's done it a couple games in a row now where we're starting to really realize, hey, what, I mean, this is going to be a pattern. Is he going to not learn from his mistakes? And that's a big deal when it comes to coaching, being the head honcho. You got to be able to learn from your mistakes and not continue to repeat them. And it looks like some of the things that he's doing are things that we've seen in the past. Right? We've got, 35-game sample size almost now? 35 to be exact. You gotta make some better adjustments. You got to understand what, you know, where you're at in the game right now, and you got to trust your players a little bit more. If not, you're going to start losing them.
Yeah, and I don't think the issue is necessarily, you know, I think there's a way he wants to manage this team and a way he wants things to be. But wishing they were so is not make it a reality. Your point on the pitch, like our entire bullpen is really inconsistent. So when you have someone that seems to be finding the zone, hitting their spots, you just got to ride them out because there's no Walters at the back. Well, there is a Walters, but not the Walters at the back of the bullpen where you're like, I don't care what's going on. You know, if we need 6 outs, I'll go to him. He's going to get me. So there's none of that happening. And so, you know, if someone's pitching well, you just got to stick with them. And likewise, you got to have a quick hook with people that are struggling because, like, they're not, these look, the depth and the quality of pitching just isn't there in the bullpen to expect, oh yeah, this guy's going to work through it, because they've proven they aren't. And, you know, like you said, leaving people in that are walking batters to walk us into trouble. I mean, he so wants Nick Robert to be like that shutdown closer. And I think he has that ability, but he's a freshman. He's had his up and downs. And, you know, just automatically going him into the eighth inning, because you're like, oh, no, like he's not Andrew Walters. He's not going to give you a six out save every time. Like, you really do need to manage the game. And I think we've seen Oliveira a couple of times get pulled when he's pitching really well, and then someone else comes in and blows it. You're like, I could have stuck with him. You know, yep. Got him some more outs.
Like, there's a fine line. Hey, thank you, Ro. Yeah, there's a fine line, though, right? Because then you saw the outing that Chris Diaz gave you, where he went two solid innings, and then the third inning he kind of fell apart.
Yeah, and
so it's a fine line. It's hard.
And I think it's worth – I think that's a really good point. I think it's worth mentioning that, you know, he's dealing – look, it's a shitty hand of cards.
Sure.
So it's not – look, this is not one of the best Canes teams ever, but I do think, you know, there's a lot of – these are all close games, and that's putting a more of a focus on some of these decisions where normally they would not – be, you know, win or lose game decisions. They kind of are becoming that because all these games are close and competitive. I will say the one thing, you know, we talked about, you know, having the team kind of managing the team he wants to have versus the one he does have. Like, one of the things I've noticed both in, you know, lineup choices at the plate as well as on the mound is just he's trying to match everything up righty lefty, and we just don't have the depth of talent to do that. So when you go, like we mentioned Oliveira, like pulling him to go to Cintha because there's a bunch of lefties coming up is, you know, I don't know, because, I mean, frankly, Oliveira's not been allowed to face a lot of lefties because they pull him out when the lefty comes out. So maybe he would struggle too, but, you know, you'd kind of like to take your chances with that at this point if he's pitching well. Now, he's gotten rocked too several times this year, but then, like we said, that's why if you find the hot hand, stick with him, but it's not going to be the same guy every night, which is why it's difficult.
I know JT Caruso had kind of like his little stint there where he was looking good, and he hasn't really pitched a lot lately. So you put him in, and you know, I know he pitched a little bit this series, but it's hard. You know, it's hard. Look, it's a hard position. It's a tough position to be in for JD because this is your first time around. And you're trying to learn a lot of these guys because they're freshmen, they're young guys. It's not like you have guys on the mound that have been there for a long time. I mean, you do, but they're starters, right? Rafe and Gage and whatnot. But most of the other guys that are coming off the, you know, that are coming in relief are young guys, one or two, you know, first or second year guys. Caba was hurt last year. Crowther was hurt last year, right? Crowther's done a good job as a midweek starter. Now you're starting to see his talent come through a little bit. But, you know, even guys like Walters, who was hurt last year, Cintha is probably your most experienced guy in that bullpen. And he's a guy that throws 83, 84 miles an hour. And he's a lefty. He's a crafty lefty. He's going to be in for an inning for a hitter or two. And that's it. So, you know, the rest of the guys are very young. And it's hard to manage a bullpen, you know, or pitching staff like that for either for both Laz and JD. I think, you know, I know CCH and some of the other guys have mentioned, you know, that this team is going to be better next year. I can see that in the pitching staff because I can see with their experience, they may be able to grow a little bit, develop a little bit more. And you're going to see a different pitching staff next year. You still got some of the guys that you potentially will still have guys like Rafe, and Eric Hernandez around. I know Gage probably won't be, but now you're developing other guys as well. In Crowther, the transfer portal is going to probably be huge this year for us too. So, you know, there's a lot of different things that could happen.
It could also be a huge negative though.
Right. You know. One way or the other, it's going to be huge. Yeah, for sure. You know, but you still got an opportunity to look. Who's to say that this happened at FSU last year, right? Where they totally stunk. And they went into the transfer portal and picked up four or five guys that have, you know, drastically improved their team. Jamie Arnold, I don't know, you know, last year he was their Sunday guy who couldn't find the strike zone. And now he can't miss. And now he's throwing 96 miles an hour and he's really talented. So, again, that's development of some players. And sometimes they have to grow and they have to and that's what happens. So I think that, you know, there's a lot of opportunity for this team to get better. But this year is definitely going to be, I think it's to the point now where you have to start, you know, developing some of the younger talent. I mean, Eric Fernandez finally got his first base hit. You know, I'm a big fan of his, right? Just like his game. So, you know, he may be a guy that starts seeing some time at shortstop or at or at third base, and, you know, you DH Cuvée a little bit. I don't know. You know, you got to figure it out. But there's going to be a lot of shakeup, I think, in this program in the next, you know, the second half of the season to next year.
Yeah, and, you know, you hope you can hang on to some of the more talented kids, because there's going to be a bunch of vultures in the portal. And, you know, the way this is not a fun place to be right now. And
I saw Blake Sear at the spring game walking around in a cast.
He's out for the year, and hopefully he plays next year here and not somewhere else. Because, again, you know, there's going to be he'll have plenty of offers in the portal. Cuvée is going to get a bunch of offers. Torres is going to get a bunch of offers. Like, you have to recruit. We talk about
this a lot. If that core stays together, then it's
then you can. But I'm always a little hesitant in the portal era to say, well, wait till next year. And you don't know how many of these kids are going to stick around. And it is a challenge. I mean, and just looking at some of the management decisions again, like he's been dealt a tough hand. Like, if he tells before the year, Sear is going to break his hand and be out for, you know, the second half of the season, you're like, we're screwed. Right? I mean, and that's happened. That doesn't excuse him continuing to play Perez when, you know, he's frankly just is not starting caliber, and Scandler's playing at such a high level. It's unfathomable that he continues to roll him. Now, by the third game against FSU, he went ahead and started Scanlon against a lefty, and shockingly singled early in the game, then came around to score the tying run at the time. And it's just like, I don't know how much evidence. Our last ACC win was him with the walk-off home run against a lefty. I think it's got to stop. Like, if you know, tomorrow Bethune-Cookman, that's the Perez game. You let him take the midweek. You got to just put your better players out in the field at this point.
You know, this is not an excuse, right? Mm-hmm. But for some reason, man, and I know this because of experience. I've done it. I've been a part of teams like this. I've also done it as a coach. Some of us are pretty hard headed, and prideful, and it gets the best of us sometimes. And I think you're seeing that a little bit with JD. It's not necessarily a terrible thing, right? Because sometimes that helps, right? It allows you to make certain risky moves that you wouldn't normally make. But at the same time, it can turn around and backfire on you when you're a little too hard-headed, a little too stubborn to make a change. You know, I have a great story. There was a kid on my team that I was coaching, and he was a pitcher, right? Threw hard. He was probably my number one guy on that team. But every time we went to batting practice, I let him bat. You know, in BP. He was like, go ahead, man, just hit. And he would hit the crap out of the ball. He looked good at the plate. But I'd be like, it's hit. You know, it's BP. Anybody can do that, right? There's a lot of 2 o'clock hitters out there. So I'd be like, all right, whatever. Go ahead, man, swing the stick. And he would do it. But then he'd be like, coach, I really want to pitch, man. I mean, I really want to hit. I really want to hit. Just put me to DH. The game's up. I'm like, all right, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. You know, moral of the story is, you know, I finally gave him a shot, and he went 4 for 4 that day, you know. And so it's like, okay, you know, my stubbornness didn't let me the first, you know, 10, 15 games of the season let him see an at bat. And when I finally put him in there, now he's my cleanup guy for the rest of the season, and then he's my number one on the mound, right? And so it happens sometimes, right? And I'm not sitting from pitcher to hitter, but if there's a guy on your bench that is hitting the shit out of the ball in practice and doing everything he needs to do right, and you're not giving him the opportunity, and then once you do it, he excels, then you, at some point, you got to put pride aside, you got to put your stubbornness aside and say, well, let's give it a shot. And so I see that in JD a little bit with some of the guys, and particularly the catcher with Carlos. I know Carlos, you know, yeah, he's good behind the dish and this, that, and the other. And, you know, and that's great. He's a good, you know, signal caller and blah, 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 blah. And
Doesn't know, even matter him. Anymore. They signal him to the bench.
Doesn't matter. Yeah,
like he's not exactly. Calling
here. Exactly. He, you know, Scanlon at this point, I think, is just as good as him behind the plate. Okay. And he's hitting better. He's a better hitter at this point. Mm-hmm. So one, I mean, throw him again. You know, I mean, you know, let him hit against lefties, righties.
I think maybe you know, maybe Sunday's game was the kind of switch over on that.
He I hope so. Because
he did start him against the lefty, which he's not been doing. So hopefully, and I was afraid when they went to righties out of the pen that he was going to pinch.
Oh my god!
But he didn't do any stuff. That would have been just the ball stuff.
My goodness.
So here's the last thing before we talk about, you know, a little bit of the upcoming. The errors.
Yeah.
We've talked about this the last few weeks. I honestly, well, there's one other thing I want to talk about actually other than this, but I mean, again, you're kind of like, you know, the kids gotta make the plays. They're out there, you know, the coaches aren't going to be able to make the throw to first for them.
Right.
It's continued like that game on that first game against FSU, lost 5-4. I think it was 5-4, right? Three unearned runs.
Yep.
You're playing a top 10 team on the road and you're outplaying them and you lose because of three unearned runs.
Not only that, you face the number one pitcher in the country that year, arguably, right? On Friday night in Arnold. He had a 0.94 ERA, and you got to him. You were able to hit him. You dominated that game. You dominated that pitcher, you know, and you still end up finding a way to lose that, especially with Gage throwing well as well because he had a good game also. It's tough, man. It's tough to lose like that. It really is because you can't have his back, right? You throw the ball all over the place. That's tough, man.
And so I think, you know, I don't know, man. It's like it's in their head now. Like that was why that last game at Duke where we blew the 6-run lead and then blew the 3-run lead again in the 11th after we somehow did not fold and came like that, you know, you're up 7-1 in the 8th. That's if you just we were talking about this earlier. The team was still winning, and like they're like Mark Light magic, and we were both like, "You can't keep winning like this."
Yep.
And now we're losing like this, and it's that just makes it that puts more pressure on them. That's why one of the reasons the errors aren't getting better is everything's a high leverage spot.
Yep.
There's no. That's why it was so important to just win that game by 6 runs and coast to a win and be like, "All right, feel good about ourselves. Played really well." You know, really just kind of coast through low pressure. And so you blow that game and it just makes it even worse for the next game.
Yeah, it was bad.
You've got to not everything can be a high leverage, high pressure situation. You know, it'd be nice to make a routine play when you're up 4 runs in the first inning. And it's just, you know, everything, all these close games, because we've won our fair share of them as well, but now it's all balanced out. We've lost, you know, we've had the tying run up in the 9th inning of almost, I think, of every single one of these losses, except for maybe the second game against FSU. I think we didn't. We got close to that because we rallied in the 8th to cut the lead down.
Rallying, 6-4, I think we lost that game. And
That was the
11-8 or something.
But we got the tying run up there. I don't think we did actually in the 9th, but we were rallying, and it's just like now we're not winning the games late. But everything is so much pressure.
Game like that. That's
But everything is so much pressure too. So it's going to add to the errors, and it's a tough situation. So I see John Enriquez with a couple of thoughts in the chat. So I think Dorian was named the second baseman because he's a much better second baseman than Sear. And then Sear had some. I mean, we're not going to talk about this. I actually haven't seen this reported publicly exactly what happened. I know we obviously know, but. He had some family, you know, emergency issues. He had to leave the team for a while.
Right.
He came back, so he was DHing to work himself back. You know, he's going through a lot of stuff. And then, you know, went out in the left field and
they gave a great left fielder.
Great out there is probably the best thing that that happened to him career wise because his issue.
That's a good move by JD and the staff.
Yeah, no, right? That was a great move, and it was a great move for Sears' career as well because power hitting left fielder will get you drafted a lot higher than shaky infielder, which is what he was last year. Yep. So no, I don't think any.
I don't think
and obviously now he's broke his hand and he's out for the year. So, And he's not gonna transfer because of that. He might transfer because the team is terrible and he's gonna get a bunch of big NIL offers for programs that are probably much more likely to go far in Omaha next year than we are. So that will make him transfer. Not that he's not the starting second baseman. And then I don't know as I don't have any information on this, but I can tell you right now, Dorian is the most talented infielder on this team.
Yep.
Everyone else is dropping pop-ups, throwing the ball into the crowd, except for him. So
I agree.
So there's no favorites. There's no favorites being played in terms of who should be playing.
The right side is a lot better than the left side.
Yeah. Well, he's doing well at the plate. Well, Torres has dropped multiple pop-ups the last couple of weeks. So. Yeah,
I saw him struggle with one or two, but he's usually pretty good.
He's dropped, I think, four or five.
Oof.
Well, some of them have been foul territory. This is the thing. Our errors are lying because some of them have been foul territory and then, like, you can't sue the – but anyway, who was it that dropped the pop-up in the – oh, we just let it land in between. I think it might have gone off of someone's glove, but to start the FSU game, that kind of allowed them to rally in the first inning. But, yeah, no, Dorian's been our best infielder. In terms of being in the field, and there's no one else that should be starting instead of him. So
I agree.
He's a no-brainer starter.
What else you got?
The end of the FSU series ended with Jason Torres getting thrown out, and then
I thought it was Villegas.
Torres got thrown out in the middle of the so they homered in in the eighth,
right?
And FSU's player was running around the bases and jawing at people, and I guess Torres says something to him, so they both got ejected.
Gotcha.
Then in between innings, Villegas, he's now playing left field because Sears out for the year, threw the ball at the FSU dugout. He got ejected.
Allegedly threw it over there, right? Allegedly sailed.
He definitely was him.
Come on, he allegedly did. Just kidding.
He got thrown out of the game. And I haven't seen. Have you seen anything on any suspensions for that?
I haven't seen anything. They usually keep that close to the vest.
We'll see
tomorrow. Was it tomorrow? No, Thursday.
Tomorrow. Bethune-Cookman tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. Bethune-Cookman tomorrow. Yep.
I'll be out there so I can hopefully watch us win a game for once.
Nice.
But so we'll see if he's out with the suspension extremity.
Wait, you're back in town tomorrow? Yeah. Are you here now? Yeah, that's right. I was like, wait a second.
I am here now.
Thanks for telling me, friend. You know? Jeez, Louise.
Actually, you did know this. We talked about going to some Louisville games
together. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay. So anyway, we're both like busy as shit. It doesn't really matter. But so I do, we'll see if he's, out or not.
Look, and as far as that goes, the rivalry and them jarring back and forth. Look, last year we swept them. And we talked a little bit of trash also. They talked a little bit of trash. We didn't shake hands last year either at the end of the series. They didn't shake hands this time around. Whatever, man. I'm cool with that. I'm cool with the trash talking. I like it because, baseball has been this, kind of like the whole, it's a boring sport. They don't let you celebrate. They don't let you talk trash. And when you see a little bit of it, it's fun. Like, I get the whole – if you're circling the bases, look, I'm an old school baseball guy also, right? Like, if you're around the bases after hitting a bomb and you're talking trash, and first of all, I like that my players have my back and they're going to talk trash back and try him back, and if I'm a pitcher, I might throw one at his back or something like that. Like, mess with, like, a little chin music. That's part of the game to me. I'm a little old school in that sense. So I'm okay with it, and it's going to happen. It's part of the game. It'll happen with Florida against Florida. It'll happen against some of these rivalry games that we have.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
In baseball, so I'm okay with it. I'm not really going to sit here and be like, oh, FSU's classless. We do the same stuff. It doesn't make you classless. It's a rivalry. We're talking trash to each other. you know, and if you're a fan and you're talking about how classless we are, vice versa, like, get over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just – so my whole thing on that, no, totally agree with that, you know, with the rivalry. I frankly don't know that anyone need to be ejected on the initial thing.
Yeah.
I think it actually made it more because then JD got pissed off because, right. you know, they started it. It's the first time I've seen him show – that's the first time I've seen him show emotion this year, so that was nice. Oh. He's been chilling there, writing on his paper. I was like, dude, get her ass kicked. What are you doing? So it's good to see him yelling it up. Especially with the previous week, we got called for a bop and running on the rubber, and he didn't say anything. I'm like, but yeah, the only thing I worry about with the Villegas thing, throwing it at the dugout, it was into the screen in front of the dugout. There was no player around. It was not going to hit anyone.
Right.
But in this overreaction age, oh my God, you could have killed someone.
Right. Of course.
And that's why I'm more worried. I don't give a shit. Crap that he did that. I'm more worried that he gets suspended. I just need him on the field. So we're already low on depth. By the way, we haven't talked about this. Shout out to Jacoby Long, who's playing awesome. He's
getting the crap out of the ball.
He's doing great in the field. He has really stepped it up, man.
He really has.
He is big time. Carriers is starting to hit off speed stuff. It's unfortunate the team just cannot find a way to finish games.
They can't figure it out. They can't put a whole game.
There's a lot of really good individual performances happening against top 10 opponents that cannot translate into wins.
But what you're seeing, Vish, you mentioned it, right? We keep saying it. It's the mistakes on the field and with the errors, primarily in the infield, right? Because the outfield's not really – I mean, with Villegas out there, with Villegas, Long, and Costello, you've got a pretty solid outfield. But, I mean, the shortstop position has been a mess when it comes to defense. Well, I mean, offense, too, at this point. But even Urso hit the ball decent in the FSU series. I saw a couple of his at-bats, and he looked really good. But, like, Covey, you know, can't figure out how to throw the ball hard to first base. Like, if he's taking his time and throwing it out there, it's okay. But if he's got to rush a little bit or if he's got to grab it and go, he throws it out. He's everywhere, right? Everywhere.
You can actually tell Covey when he's going to make an error because he takes like an extra hop and you're like, oh no.
Yeah.
Instead of just throwing it, he like gears up and you know he's going to sail it.
You know it.
And I'm sure the coaches are working on him. He's a freshman.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where we are NIL wise.
That's a good question. That's a tough one, man.
Teams, yeah. But these kids, we'll a lot of
them, we're there.
Yeah,
we're
a
there.
Lot of them are. We're not, we're definitely not being far outstretched.
No.
Incoming, it's so hard to tell because you don't know until after the draft.
Football gets the most money for any.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's football and then basketball for a few players individually. Yeah. Like you can get seven figures as well if you're a game changer. Baseball is not nearly at that price point. We do.
And that's the part that sucks because baseball only has 11.7 scholarships. So right. The NIL would really be a lot more helpful there. But you still get some guys like Blake Sear with a good NIL deal.
Yeah, no, we do, like you said, we do spend money. There are some guys with good deals out there. But just the overall price point, baseball is always going to be less because an individual player is just not going to be able to impact baseball. You can be the standing joke. Like well, that, I mean, yeah. It's a standing joke about the Angels having Ohtani and Mike Trout for years sucking.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, it's true. Same thing. That's the way baseball is.
Not only do they have those two, but they had Anthony Rendon who won the batting title, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're still terrible.
What a team, and they still couldn't put it together.
Well, that's because it's baseball, man. It's like it's nine individuals in a team concept, and
absolutely
one player. You know, they're not going to pit if they're pitching, they're not hitting, and vice versa. And then even if you're a great hitter, you come up once every 2 to 3 innings, and everyone else has got to do work. So. That's what depresses the NIL market a little bit because just getting one guy is not really going to fix your program. In terms of the incoming recruiting class, we'll see. We always so at this time of year we generally have a top five, the top ten, and then we see how many we can keep
in the
draft. But it's until the draft, it's hard to know because you know. If they don't sign, then you have a great class. If they do sign, it starts getting decimated. You start slipping.
Yep. That's for sure.
I don't know, man. We're always on at the same time. Tuesday nights has become our night.
Hey, man, from your mouth to God's ear, CCH. That's all
I'll say. Well, we're hosting. Good transition, CCH, because we're hosting this weekend.
We are hosting. We're hosting.
So we talked about this a little bit.
Didn't they sweep someone last week or the week before?
Not sure. They're seven
and State.
They're 7-8 in conference.
Yeah, well,
we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Like, we played an extra ACC series early, so we played 18 games. A lot of these teams only played 15 because we have that BYU season series towards the end of the season. Some teams don't have that, so you know, we're only one game behind them in the wins column. In terms of, you know, unless we start sweeping multiple teams, at large bid is kind of gone by the wayside. So got to get into the ACC tournament. Right now we would be in. So the teams to watch, we're two games up on Pitt and four games up on Notre Dame. Those are the two teams that would be left out. So we definitely do need to start winning series and secure that. But we are comfortably in.
What does that even mean?
She joined Six Rings like right after you left yesterday. She's like, Jazz isn't here. So you know, it's a big series. It's a team that's finally not in the top 10 after 3 weeks in a row playing top 10 teams. Duke is seventh. FSU, I think, is exactly 10. And Clemson, are they number one now? They're number one or number two there.
Yeah,
so
Arkansas, I think, is number one.
Yeah, I think Clemson's top three, whatever. So, like, it's been a rough.
It's been rough.
The Canes have two very good series wins.
Yeah, they do. That's
the schedule has been insane. But Louisville is a bit of a breather in a sense. They're still a really good team.
This could be the weekend that they kind of wake up a little bit and get it back going. And that's obviously that's what we want. I mean, obviously a series sweep would be great because they'd put them back in 500 or maybe even over. Depends on how the Bethune game goes tomorrow. But they've got to
get working on that ACC record as well. Make sure to secure that ACC turn. Because look, you're in all these close games. You know, you get some bounces in the ACC. The ACC tournament's pretty straightforward. You win two games, you make the final.
That's it.
You make the semifinal. I mean, right? And then it's two more. Yeah, the Canes have three really good starting pitching.
Oh no, JT or Gardo tomorrow.
Are they both suspended?
On the field correspondence.
Are they both suspended? We were actually asking about
that. We didn't see any
press release.
Yeah, that sounds like what it would be.
Yeah, so I guess Urso will get the start at first, which means him and Jimenez will play short. Where's Renzo?
Right, I know he was hurt earlier in the season, but is he still hurt?
Oh, I guess there's an automatic one-game suspension.
There you go.
You should probably know that. I don't know, man. I need Renzo to play multiple positions because we need an outfielder too.
Maybe so. I guess pitch at this point,
we might see. You know what we should actually do is put Carrier in the outfield and DH Scanlon. That way he can save his knees and still play.
Didn't know what, man. That makes sense now.
They had him pitching.
Yeah, that's exactly
why. Yeah, way to go, man!
Exactly why he had time.
Way to go, goofing off and pitching.
He'll be back throwing 95 next year.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I mean, what do you do lineup wise? It's Bethune, so God forbid. But
what's his name? The start as short, Eric Fernandez. Why not? It's a midweek game. Why not?
My guess is it's Urso at first and Jimenez at short. Then the outfield, you obviously got Jacoby and you've got we talked about that. Keep giving Lucas Castillo chances. He's coming around now.
Oh no, he's talking about Luca Reyes.
No, I'm telling you.
Oh me, yeah.
so we got two of the three outfielders are playing well, and then Viega suspended.
Okay, Carrier will probably play left.
You can put Carrier in there and DH someone else. Yeah, Kulikowski might get a shot.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah, I will give Scanlon a DH. Maybe DH Scanlon if you're gonna have Perez catch.
Right. decisions.
Win the game.
That's it. Oh man. Yeah, we haven't talked about Luca because he hasn't even gotten one at bat, so why talk about him? We talked a little bit about the bullpen earlier today, too, with I don't know if it's such an implosion as it is. It's just lack of experience, you know? Julian Hernandez is one that's – I haven't seen him.
Yeah, I mean, the bullpen's really just been –
And he's a kid that started off really well. So
it's been a little bit of mixed bag. We've got no consistency out of those, which again, with a lot of young guys, is expected. But also, you know, Dwyer was supposed to be one of our top arms. He got hurt.
Yep.
So, you know, that's unfortunate. And then
it's been a tough season.
Yeah. It's just been one of those years, but you know, home series coming up, back at the light finally.
That's it.
Just need to, we actually, before the Duke series, we were 6-6. We're like, you know, to really make up, you know, win loss standings in conference play, you've got to sweep. Because otherwise, even if you win 2 out of 3, it's just one game up.
Right.
And instead, we got swept twice. So
rough. It's rough, man. It's rough.
So now 6 games under .500 after I said that. So, I was right. You could see how sweeps really affect the standings. Yeah. We gotta dig our way out of that hole now to get, you know, hope again. So it's highly unlikely because of the amount of winning you'd have to do, but the Canes do have 2 really good series wins. And, you know, with the schedule as brutal as it's been and with the conference as tough as it is, if you somehow fight this thing over 500 in conference play, that'll also result in you being way over 500 in overall record. It'll probably get you in, but making up 6 games.
It's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough. You have to sweeps. Sweeps have to happen.
You have to.
As Kane's Cat Heat said, we finished with Pitt, who's the weakest opponent left on our schedule. We got to sweep them.
Yep.
Here's the home series against Louisville. Who's
going to try to sweep this weekend too, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just win the rest of the game.
Right.
That's go undefeated the rest of the game.
Go undefeated, we'll be fine.
But that's of course highly unlikely that we're not going undefeated. That will get even onto the bubble at this point.
Yeah.
So the real goal is securing a trip to the ACC tournament, unfortunately. So even the midweeks don't really matter at that point because, you know, it's the conference game, staying above Pitt and Notre Dame. Notre Dame, of course, has a tiebreaker on us because we managed to lose that series. They have 2 conference wins. All of you, one guess who those are against.
Yep. I know. That's what's so sad about
it. How did we beat North Carolina and Virginia?
And then we can't even beat Notre Dame. Ridiculous. Raul, your question about fundamental problems, is it coaching or recruiting talent? I don't think it's recruiting talent. Honestly, it's tough to say it's coaching also, but fundamentals got to be instilled from the time you start, you put on a glove, right? When you're 4 or 5 years old or whatever. So I think fundamentals, but at the same time, maybe coaching, you got to put them in the right positions, right? You got to talk strategy. You got to talk those things. And all of that has to do with fundamentals also. So maybe it's a little bit of both. Maybe it's a little bit of both. I mean, these guys are talented. It's a good group of kids. They're young. But I think that it's a little bit of both. But you got to know fundamentals, man. Fundamentals is, I mean, it's the most important thing, man. You got to know that before you can do anything else on the field. So, maybe it's a little bit of both. So we'll see.
And I do wonder as we kind of wrap up here, I do wonder if, you know, assuming Jay doesn't get shit canned after this year, which it's not entirely off the table.
There you go.
Perfect timing because the chat's on delay. So I don't think it's there yet, but you know, there's different ways to miss the tournament. And if we continue to get swept like this and we go like, you know, we end up with like 9 wins in conference and go like 9-21. I think he's in deep shit. I think if we, you know, recover a little bit, as Kane's Cats Heat said, there's basically no way we're getting in at large. But if we end up, you know, embarrassing ourselves, then it could be in play. I doubt that happens. But what I was saying, Jazz, is, you know, assuming JD's back, which I think is the highest likelihood, I wonder if his staff gets a shake up. I do wonder if this is a little bit of Mario 1.0. We got the all-star staff in there, and they're maybe not the right people to coach.
Maybe Matt says, I don't want to do this. I want to go back to your head coach again, you know?
Yeah, and, you know.
Or go back to the pros.
It does feel a little bit like Mario's first half where you're like, wow, man, these guys have been head coach. Like, I mean, Charlie Strong is the linebackers coach. He's been the head coach at Texas. Like, you got this. And that's like, wait, we need someone to actually teach fundamentals to the linebackers. And this guy is way too big time for that at this point.
Yeah. Or do you give him an extra year and let him kind of put it together? They're all good coaches. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, no, exactly. So, but
and
I
think by the way, Rad, him saying Rad isn't even paying attention, Vish knows even better than I do. Rad is always paying attention.
Yeah, no, there's
always pay attention. Trust me on that.
And again, I don't even know that it'll necessarily be JD going to them being like, "You're fired." It'll be more this ain't working, and them just being like, "I got prospects. I can go be like,
exactly,
I can go work in MLB. I don't need to do this."
Exactly.
Anyway, so Canes host Bethune-Cookman tomorrow. Weekend series Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Louisville, I'll be out there for all four.
I'll see if I can catch you at a game. So
yeah. Well, Melissa and I will be there Saturday if you
head
out to that one. But anyway, I'll be out there all weekend. Let's see if we can get some W's here. And, you know, if we get the 4-0 week, we're over 500. So that's the goal. We'll be back next Tuesday and see if we can we can be 20-19 coming into that.
Nine and twelve
at conference will be like, we're back. Let's go.
Back in business, baby.
Let's see what happens.
And go check out Buckets tomorrow.
Yeah,
night.
Buckets tomorrow. We don't have a women's basketball program anymore. Everyone's in the portal. We have two players returning that have played. One has a torn ACL. So we'll see how that goes. We're gonna be talking about that as well as the men are
picking up some guys.
Men's have some big time recruits on campus. So looking at close.
Javon Small, right?
Javon Small, who is ironically tall for a point guard. Yes, he is. And then and we've already landed a couple of big fish in the portal as well. So
for sure.
So the men's team is replenishing talent. The women's team is still not recovered from resignation of Katie Meyer.
Call up better put it together quick. So.
I'm already ready. I'm ready. I got the pitchforks out. You're not Katie Meyer already, so you're already like on the ledge. Actually, Melissa and I are gonna see her on campus next week. But anyway, stay tuned. Buckets tomorrow. We'll be back next. Sixth Ring on Monday, and next week we'll do F1 show, and then Canes Cats. Key, in case you're wondering how did I miss this, it's Tuesday night next week as well. Like it always is.
Thank you.
All right. Later. All right. We'll talk to y'all later.
All right.